Good morning, church. Thank you for the love and the support. Last week, Pastor Ted shared about his technical difficulty because on Sunday morning, he didn't have his notes. So I made sure that I have hard copy so I don't have that technical difficulty. Do you remember the first day of sheltering in place? March 19, 2020. Exactly 3 years ago today, California Governor Newsom declared the first statewide order in the United States that required all residents to remain at home except when engaging in essential activities. In that same year, the popular YouVersion Bible app saw searches increase by 80%, totaling nearly 600 million searches worldwide. Can you guess what was the top search verse? Not John 3:16. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous hand. At the beginning of the pandemic, we were all living under constant fear and stress. We had no idea whether we would be the next one to get sick. For many, death from the COVID virus hit close to home. We all knew of someone who died from COVID. Perhaps a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, perhaps even our own family member. 3 years later today, by grace, we're all here. Gone are the days of isolation, sheltering in place, no need to stock up on toilet paper anymore, or wait in a long line 6 feet apart to get our vaccine. All the students are back in school, the parents are like, yay, no more online learning. We're all back to a new normal of living, no longer threatened by the virus. But that doesn't mean our life is now completely free of stress and fear. In fact, we're always surrounded by fear. Fear for our future. If you're a high school senior, you're probably very nervous about whether you'll get into the college of your choice. Don't be afraid, Elise. God has you. With all the layoffs recently, unemployment is another fear. Fear of banks collapsing. Two banks collapsed within a week. For the older adults, fear of poor health as we age. Fear can be so overwhelming and consuming that sometimes we are paralyzed and debilitated by it. This morning, we're going to take a look at the life of Gideon, to see how God transformed Gideon from a weak and fearful person to a mighty warrior. My title for the sermon is Weaklings to Warriors. Just to be clear, this is not about the Golden State Warriors. So sorry to disappoint all the Warrior fans out there, all right? Now, a brief background on the book of Judges. Joshua led the Israelites into the Promised Land, but the conquest was not complete. During the period of the Judges, which lasted about 350 years, Israel had no king, no leader, but they had God. Yet, at the necessary time, God brought forth a leader for the nation. For the most part, these leaders, who were called judges, would rise up, did their job, and then return to their obscurity. There was a cycle of sin pattern in the book of Judges, if you could put that up. So the way this cycle happens in the book of Judges is that his people will serve him and they will experience peace. And then as the years go on, they started worshiping the idols, and then that will bring them into bondages and oppression. And when they are in that situation for a long time, they will cry out to God and repent of their sins. And that is when the Lord will answer them by bringing deliverance through a judge. And then they'll go back and serve God. So this cycle repeated itself every time a judge dies. There was a period of 40 years of rest after Deborah delivered the Israelites. But then the people fell into their evil ways. We'll pick up the story in Judges chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Midian 7 years, and they oppressed Israel. The Midianites were very powerful people. They treated the Israelites very badly. The Israelites were so scared that they would live in the mountain caves and clefts, hidden themselves, hiding themselves. Every year, the Israelites planted crops, but the Midianites will come through and ravage everything they plant. There were so many Midianites that no one could count them. They were like a swamp of locusts because they ravaged everything in their path. They killed their animals, and they destroyed everything the Israelites had. So Israel became poverty-stricken because of the Midianites, and the Israelites cry out to God. So you see that pattern happening. So God sent a prophet to them, and the prophet reminded the people about the amazing things that God had done by bringing them out of Egypt and conquering their enemies. The prophet also reminded them that they did not listen to God's warning about not worshiping false gods. After the prophet, God sent an angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came, slide 11, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine vat in order to hide it from the Midianites. The fact that Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press was significant. Wheat was normally threshed in a designated space called threshing floor. You see here in the picture that the threshing floors were hard, open spaces prepared on either rock or clay, carefully chosen for maximum exposure to the prevailing winds. This allowed the wind to blow the chaff away as the grain was tossed into the air, and the chaff will be blown away while the actual grain will fall onto the ground. Threshing floors were no hiding places. They were visible places. Wine presses were the opposite. Normally, they were square or circular pits which were dug out of the ground. Gideon threshed out his wheat in a wine press, not on a threshing floor. Why? Because he was hiding from his enemies, and he didn't want them to find him. While Gideon was hiding, we will read this next verse together. Verse 12, together. 1, 2, 3. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Turn to the person next to you and say, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon was probably really puzzled and confused by what the angel of the Lord said, because he was scratching his head thinking, "Who are you talking to, mighty warrior?" The word warrior in the original text means to be strong, to accomplish, to excel, and to prevail. The root word is commonly used in warfare and has to do with the strength and vitality of the successful warrior. It sounds a little bit funny for Gideon to be greeted as a mighty warrior because he was laying low so that he wouldn't be found. However, God saw Gideon for what he would become not for what he was at. God recognizes in Gideon something that Gideon does not even see in himself. God has a way of seeing beyond our fears and frailty. He begins with us where we are, be it in the wine press or an ordinary position. He knows our weaknesses, our faults, our shortcomings, but he does not say, get your act together before I'll use you. While others look at us and see our flaws and failings, God looks at us. He sees our possibilities and our potential. He takes our inadequacy and transforms it to his adequacy. God sees us for what we can become as he works in our lives. He's in the business of taking the ordinary people like you and me and transforming us through the work of the Holy Spirit into his mighty warrior. Gideon was definitely not feeling mighty. He was afraid. He was hiding. Fear held Gideon back. Fear kept Gideon in the wine press. He couldn't imagine getting out of that wine press to be out on the open threshing floor. Last summer, I was in the swimming pool with my granddaughter. We were both in the water, but she was holding on to the ledge, and I was about 4 feet away from her. And I told her, I said, swim to me. Swim to Papa, which is grandmother in Cantonese. I said, I'm right here. Come on, come on. And she was still holding on tight. And after a little bit of convincing, she let go, and she started flapping her arms and kicking her feet to swim towards me. When she got closer, I extended my arm, and I pulled her in, and I held her. She was safe in my arm. Before she let go of that ledge, she was fearful. She was afraid. She thought that she may drown. But I was there to catch her and to hold her. We all can identify with my granddaughter a little bit. Holding on to the ledge, not willing to let go because we're afraid. Only when she let go, then she was able to learn how to swim. Without letting go, there was no moving forward. 6 months later, last December, she was swimming without her floaties in a pool in Bali, Indonesia, a warm day while I was freezing here in the Bay Area in the cold. God patiently waits for us to let go, to trust him to catch us, even when we feel like we're drowning in deep water. We must stop to look at ourselves. Start looking to God in faith. With his transformative power, he will lead us out of fear into becoming a mighty warrior. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Another very strange thing to tell Gideon. What strength? You want me to save Israel? But how? Do you know who I am? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family. Gideon had very good reasons to tell God why he was not the right candidate. Remember Moses? When God told Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, his response to God was, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words. I stutter and stammer. Moses said, please, I beg you, don't send me, send someone else. Similarly, God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And what was Jeremiah's response? I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. It really doesn't matter to God whether we are the weakest, the least, eloquent or not, too young or too old. What matters is that we trust him completely and willing to do even the most seemingly ridiculous thing. Verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. I can see God looking into Gideon's eyes and telling him, Gideon, I am going with you. I'm not sending you alone. I am going to do it through you. Do you get it, Gideon? Slowly, I think Gideon is beginning to see the picture that God is painting. The battle is not about Gideon. The battle belongs to the Lord. It is all about God. God will manifest his power through Gideon's weaknesses. But, you know, Gideon is human. He wanted proof. So he told the angel of the Lord, he said, stay here. I'm going to come back. So he went in and prepared some meat and bread and brought it out. And he gave it to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, put it on this rock. Pour out the broth. And then the angel of the Lord used the tip of the staff and touched the rock. And fire came out and consumed everything. And the angel of the Lord was gone. And at that point, Gideon is like, it's God. I just saw God. I'm going to die. But the Lord comforted him by saying, no, peace. Don't worry. You're not going to die. You would think after this encounter, Gideon is ready to go into the battle. If you have read the story, you know that he asked for more proofs. Gideon said, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, then let me have a little proof. I'm going to put out wool and you make the wool wet, but the ground, all the ground surrounding it to be dry. And God did that. The next morning when Gideon woke up, he squeezed a bowl full of water from the fleece. It wasn't just moist wool. It was a bowl full of water. So that should be enough proof, right? No. Gideon said, okay, God, don't be angry with me. That may have been just a coincidence. Can we switch this around? This time, let the fleece be dry and the ground surrounded to be wet. And God did it, and it was indeed as he had requested. Gideon went on to lead an army of 300 against 135,000 Midianites. All the engineers, the ratio is 1 to 450. The odds were stacked against them. But you know how they won the battle? By blowing trumpets, breaking jars, and shouting. A very unconventional battle strategy. They didn't even have to raise their sword. God's way are higher than our ways. I bet you when Gideon was threshing the wheat in the winepress, he probably never imagined himself leading an army to fight against the enemies and win the battle. God is in the business of doing the impossible, the incredible, the unimaginable things in our lives if we allow him and let him use us. He transformed Gideon from a weakling, a fearful person, to a mighty warrior. God can do that in you and me. During the pandemic, a lot of us pick up new hobbies and probably some bad ones too. People learn to cut hair, bake breads, gardening, try new recipes, binge on a lot of Netflix shows. One of the questions discussed among the staff was, how are we to live during the pandemic? What is God saying and what is God doing? How should we use our time while we're all isolated? I asked God what his assignment was for me. A thought came to me. I felt that God wanted me to share about my journey of losing my husband, Pastor Ed. Ed was a pastor in this congregation for over 10 years. He passed away in 2014 after a year of battling with a very complicated disease. His death was very unexpected because he was healthy and relatively young and in his early 60s. He used to run 3 to 6 miles a day. Death was very real and near at the beginning of the pandemic because many people were dying all over the world. I really didn't want to entertain the thought of sharing my journey. I told God, why me? I don't want to do this because it's too hard and too painful. But God kept on impressing upon me. He said, not everyone has gone through what you have gone through. And even if they have lost a loved one, not everyone is willing to share their journey. I'm giving you an opportunity to help others to ponder about death and the loss of a loved one. Are you willing? I knew God was right. God is always right. Finally, I gave in, and I said yes. After a couple of months of struggling through my thoughts and sorting out what I wanted to share, I titled my sharing, Ready and Prepared. I was really afraid of sharing this with people because I didn't know how they would react. This is definitely not a popular or a favorite topic for conversation. Most people don't feel comfortable or even talk about death. But it is very necessary and very important. I began meeting with people in their backyards and sometimes in my own backyard to talk about how to be ready and prepare to face death, whether it is our own death or our loved ones. Having gone through this journey myself, I learned that to live well means to die well. And what does that look like? To me, to die well means I'm ready to face Jesus, whether it is today, tomorrow, or in the years to come. It means that I need to make preparations in all areas of my life, be it spiritual, financial, relational, physical, or emotional. There's an ongoing conversation openly discussing the topic of death between me and my loved ones. The end goal is that I have no fear of facing death or facing the death of a loved one. I can live fully because I have prepared to die with no regrets. This assignment from the Lord was definitely a very difficult one for me. But I knew I had to accept it. In the process of sharing my journey, I received a lot of healing. And I hope that the people that were in the discussion also found it to be helpful. The more I share, the less fear I have about how people would react to me. Today, I'm more courageous to do what God is calling me to do. In closing, I would like to read Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I want to ask you a few questions and ponder upon them. And then wait to see what God has to say to you. Are you hesitant, reluctant to face challenges in your life because you're afraid? Do you feel like Gideon, seeing your weaknesses and can't see what God sees in you? God begins with us where we are. Are you still hiding in the wine press when you know you should be on the threshing floor? Ask God to show you one or two areas in your life that you're afraid to step out of. And then in a minute or so, pray with a person to ask God to fight the battle with you, because he will never leave you or forsake you. Step out from your fear into victory as his mighty warrior.
I'm going to give you a moment to reflect on these questions. When you're ready, I'm going to ask you to find one or two people just around you. It can be your family members, it can be a stranger or someone who's sitting next to you. I want you to just spend a moment just sharing to one another, with one another, what are some new things that God is calling you into in this season? Or what are the battles that you're fighting right now that you need his strength for? And then take just a moment to have a simple prayer, a blessing over one another, and then we'll end our time. Let's just go and huddle together in a group of two or three. Share with one another any challenges you're facing, any battles you're going through. Thank you.
now I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Open your hands before the Father and let's receive the blessing. Father, we confess this morning that it's hard for us to see beyond who we are today, what we have in our hands. And sometimes we, Lord, refuse to go into the battle because of that limitation. But Lord, thank you for reminding us how you see us. Not for who I am today, but what we will be one day. Give us the same perspective, the same mindset. Father, I bless all of us today in the name of Jesus. that you'll walk out of this place with this burning courage to engage in the battles that you're calling us into. That the life that you have given us is not just an extended vacation or waiting period. But Lord, we're grateful that there are battles to be fought and the victories to be won. Thank you for this assuring promise that you're the one who will fight for us and with us, Lord. So Lord, I commission all of us in Jesus' name that we will engage, we will fight, and we will walk together with you, claiming victories that you have already promised through Christ, and that our days will be filled with the stories of these incredible victories, unimaginable and illogical stories of your mighty work in and through us, Lord. So we give ourselves, we surrender ourselves just as Gideon did. Use us, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a great week, warriors, and we'll see you on either Wednesday or Sunday. Blessings.